And I hope everybody has a wonderful time of family fellowship. I've asked for of you to come and help me tonight. If you just come take a position here on the front somewhere and just sit, because we have several of you. And however you're seated, that'll be the order in which you you go. But are you thankful to be in the Lord's house on a Tuesday night? Are you thankful to have the Holy Ghost, to be filled up with the kingdom of God? Are you glad to know the power of the name of Jesus and the power of the blood and all of the goodness and richness and blessings of His kingdom? It is such a good thing to be a part of His kingdom tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, Joy, you're right here, and you can just start us off, and then whoever's next will just follow you right along. You don't have to come up. You can just stand right here if you like. But you can come up if you like. You're a little bit hard to see.
I got this because I was trying to avoid eye contact with him. But he got me anyway. So I'm not the best at speeches, but I'll start off with what he gave me. So he gave me the verse Psalms 30 and 12. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. When he handed it to me, he told me to talk about some of the things that I'm thankful for. And the first thing that instantly came to mind is the fact that the path that I could have gone down, God yanked me by the back of my neck and said, you are not going down that path, and pulled me out. And I am extremely grateful for God's grace and mercy, because, I mean, it was a very dark path, but thanks be to God, He pulled me out of that path and brought me back to my senses and back to His grace and mercy. But also, I'm extremely thankful for the leadership that we have in this church. I hate to say that, but I grew up in this church under the leadership of Brother Sutton, and I took him for granted, and I didn't realize exactly how much I took him for granted until I had the opportunity to go and then come back. And I have to say, there is seriously no other leadership other than Brother Sutton, and I am extremely grateful to be able to be underneath his leadership.
Praise the Lord, church. I got this very short passage of scripture from Philippians 4, 4 through 8. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Just go down a short list of what I'm thankful for. I'd like to first be thankful for my wife, my wonderful, amazing wife, the hardest working woman I know. She outworks me 10 out of 10 days under the table. No competition. My better half for sure. I'd also like to thank this wonderful, welcoming congregation, my extended church family, because it don't take but a few minutes to get out there on your worldly job around your worldly union brothers, and they're doing these jokes here and these jokes there and dirty pictures here and et cetera. And you get that pull, that constant nag at you from the world. So when you come into church on a Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Sunday night, you get that nostalgic feeling of the love of your brothers and sisters in the church. I'm so very thankful for that. But most and foremost, I'm thankful for this great leader right here, this man of God, who leads from the front and not from the back, from on ground level, not upon a pedestal, just preaching words and not doing anything by action. A man that stands under the word and believes in full righteousness and does not turn an ear when the world's nagging at him, and he's not afraid to stand alone and up for truth and everything he believes in.
Thank you.
I will give thanks. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Psalms 35:18. I'm so thankful for all of God's blessings that he's given to me. In my daily prayer, normally I give God thanks. And just yesterday, I was praying, and it's hard not to get overwhelmed when you look over your life and you see all of the things that God has done for you. Just in my life, I've been raised in the truth, and I'm so thankful for that truth. I've seen people be deceived by false religion and believe that they're right with God, and it's so, I'm just grateful because just the truth that we get to hold, and it's so precious, and the people of God. And I was just naming my blessings yesterday, and I got overwhelmed. I was just crying. I know it probably looked crazy driving down the road as I was crying and just telling God of all the things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for my husband. He's a great leader. There's so many times in my life, and he's probably embarrassed by me saying this, but so many times in my life when I would have just maybe not been grateful, not been thankful, and he's always kind of steered me back, and he's a great leader. I'm thankful for my children. God has blessed me with wonderful children, and I'm very, very thankful for that. I'm thankful for the leadership in this church. There's so many people that have stood up and stood behind our family as we've walked out the callings that God has called us to, and this church has been very supportive in every ministry that we've done, and I'm just super grateful to be able to be a part of a church that believes in passion-based ministries, that believes in, you know, whatever God has called you to do. They support you. There's no jealousy or envy or strife, and I'm thankful for the leadership that we have in this church. And I could go on and on over the things my family. I'm thankful for my parents that they left everything. They left all their familiar surroundings in Louisiana and came here where we could grow. And I'm thankful for what they did and the sacrifices that they made throughout our life and put a love for truth deep down inside of my heart. And that's something that I could never repay. I could never say thank you enough for giving me a love for truth, because I believe that's what's going to keep us in this last day, is when we have a love deep down inside, because the enemy will never be able to take that away. And I'm grateful for all of you. You're such a blessing in my life. When I look around and I see some of the things that you have gone through, and some of the trials that I've seen you go through, and you've gone through with grace, and I'm just grateful to be able to see. It's a strength to everyone else around you whenever we look around and see how you just keep on, and I'm just blessed to be a part of this church.
Psalm 75:1, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. That's Psalm 75:1. I just been thinking, I guess, with Thanksgiving and the holidays coming up, you always, you know, I guess, like Stephen was saying, you kind of reflect on previous years. And I guess about 3 years ago, we lost, we didn't lose, my grandma went home. To be with her maker, and but I just want to think, about 70, I think 70 something years ago, she decided to, out of nobody in her family living for God, I don't really know how the story goes, but I know there was nobody before her, and it was just a revival service that she walked into, and there's very few people in her family are living for God, but 70 something years she lived for God, and she prayed for, I heard her praying for me and all of my sisters, and you know, my mom and my dad and her kids, and just, you know, I just thank God for a woman that did it on her own. I mean, she didn't have a whole lot of help. You know, my grandpa took her to church, but he never really tried to live for God all that much. But I just thank God for a grandma who prayed, but she was a prayer warrior. If you needed prayer, you could call her, and it didn't matter what time of day. I heard her 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes. She would wake the whole house up, and she was just a great lady. But I just thank God for the Holy Ghost and everything that he's doing in my life, for my kids and my wife. And I just, obviously, I thank God for Brother Sutton and this church.
Therefore will I give thanks unto the Lord, unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Psalms 18 and 49. I'm just thankful for, I wasn't prepared, so I don't know if this is out of line, but I just thank the Lord for keeping me. I was at one time a heathen, amen, and he saved me. He delivered me. I walked away from God when I was a teenager. And I remember when I did it, I had a distinct dream where I was in a big classroom and the instructor up front was instructing, and I decided to leave the classroom. And I'm walking towards the door, and then somebody meets me at the door, a man who's had just evil in his eyes, and he looked like he was ready to just take me at that point. And I remember, you know, hearing the instructor say, "Leave her alone." And I turned around, and I couldn't, of course, I don't remember a face or anything, but I just remember feeling disappointment coming from that instructor. But he told the person to leave me alone. And the guy stepped away from the door, but you can see steam blowing off his face. And I just, I know that God decided to keep me under his protection, even though I decided to leave him. And he drew me back through lots of circumstances. But I'm back, and I'm thankful for it. And I'm thankful for the family he's blessed me with, and this church home, and my pastor. And I'm just blessed, like the song we sang today. Amen.
Praise the Lord, church. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Psalms 92, 1 and 2. So I start thinking days in advance about this service and try to avoid this. I was given some misinformation. Supposedly, Sister Sutton was handling it, so I wasn't prepared for the pastor. I would have been on the other side of the church. However, it is a good thing to give thanks, you know, and I have a lot to be thankful for. You know, I've got my beautiful wife and my family, my babies, this awesome church, the best pastor ever, you know, but I have a great God and a great deliverance. And, you know, I think about what my testimony is. I mean, you could say a lot of different things. You could tell the narrative. But to me, my testimony is, I remember, is so palpable to me. The emptiness, the hopelessness, the disconnection from God. I remember at night growing up just thinking that I wish I'd never existed. And I would think that all the time throughout life. It never stopped. I you know, throughout my teenage years, when life would slow down, the parties would stop, I'd be on my pillow at night and just thinking, I just wish I didn't exist. I just remember that. It's so real to me now. And I end up getting the Holy Ghost and living for God. And a couple months went by, and one day, actually in a jail cell, I remember thinking, I haven't had that thought in a while. And that thought was always with me. And just joy flooded my veins in this jail cell. And I'm just sitting here giddy like a kid for Christmas, and just realized, you know, this hard life was all worth it to be with God. And I'm just so grateful to have our God.
Praise God, church. I'm going to be reading Psalms 95, verse 1 through 3. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. So everybody said they were trying to avoid this thing, but I think I was the only one that ran up to Pastor when I saw him handing the papers, say, hey, I want one. Because I got a lot to be thankful for. We've all said it, but I'm thankful for our pastor. He was always a firm hand for me that I needed because I was a little bit cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs at one time. But he was the strong hand that I needed. So I'm very grateful for him. I'm very grateful for this church. Y'all been a blessing to me. Y'all have no idea. From the day that I walked in here 5 years ago with my hair all the way down to my shoulders and all my piercings all over my face. I don't know if y'all remember that. Thank God for the blood. But I'm grateful for all the opportunities that I've gotten here. I can go on and on about all the opportunities, but I'm just going to stop and say I'm grateful for God, grateful for the blood. I'm grateful for the opportunity to worship God with all of you people, to have this church, this place that I can come to without fear of judgment, to just stand out here and just praise God without having to worry about what people think of me, because I can go an hour down the road to Tuscaloosa, Alabama and try to praise God and get all these judgmental looks. I've done it. I've gotten the looks. It's no fun. But I don't have to worry about that here because all you guys are worshiping God with me. And I love it. I appreciate it. We serve a great God. And I'm thankful for that.
Appreciate the help tonight. What a good testimony. Let's give God some praise and magnify him. Are you thankful tonight for what God has done in your life? I bless your name, oh God. I praise your name, Almighty God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. How wonderful are your ways, oh God. So, great, great day to be a part of the kingdom of God, to be alive in God's church, the greatest thing on the face of the earth today. Praise God. We're glad to see Brother Greg Holsey in the house tonight. He has a lot of family and friends in this church fellowship. We're going to read tonight from 2 Timothy, and this is a very prophetic passage. It is designed, intended to be prophetic. But as we stand in this present age, it is easy to see the fulfillment of this all about us. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. As you're seated tonight, let's give God praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We thank you, mighty God, for every blessing of your word, the richness, the goodness of your word. God, we pray you'd plant it in every heart, in every home. God, let your ways be made known to us by your word tonight. And we praise you for it. So there's a lot here in this passage, and thank you, Praise Group, for all the wonderful singing, and musicians for all the wonderful music tonight and helping us to worship God. There is a lot in this passage to talk about, but we are warned that in the last days, men would become unthankful. And that is such a terrible state of mind and heart to be in. Unthankfulness, though, if you take it in the context of this passage, is companion to all sorts of evil. All sorts of evil things listed here. Unthankful is one of them. And so unthankfulness then is resident in a place that is full of dark things. So what you want to avoid, all those dark things, one of the very strongest keys to achieving distance between you and the darkness and the chaos and the things that are not good for you, is to have a thankful heart. Thankfulness, in contrast, is companion to a lot of really good things. And if you can just find, you know, it's amazing the power of a small victory. If you're in a place, Brother Davin, like you're talking about, you're just sitting there wondering why you exist and wishing perhaps that you didn't exist. And there are a lot of reasons and a lot of ways that a soul can get in that tortured position. And there are a lot of people in this city that live in that tortured position. But a small victory is a huge thing when you're standing in a place that dark and that hopeless and that meaningless. And one of the places to find some traction or leverage is in a place called thankfulness. If you can just begin to see what you have. People are prone to list what they don't have. But if you could just begin to focus on what you do have, there may not be very much good in your life, but if you can find something that is good and begin to focus on that one thing, you can drown in a self-made sea of negativism. You can drown in a self-made sea of heartache and trouble, where you go out in your thinking and you find the worst case scenario and you build a case against yourself. But if you'll stop that and find something good, find something of value and of virtue, and we're going to go into the scripture tonight, but a thankful heart affects your mind, it affects your body, it affects your spirit. And so I think Andrew might have been here. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Everybody say, in everything, give thanks. And I think about somebody like Corrie ten Boom, who thanked God for the fleas because the fleas kept the German soldiers away. And you wouldn't ordinarily think. I mean, if you were covered up with fleas, you would be concerned about that. And you would probably find that to be a negative situation. But life is full of things that are relative. And you really, I'm just telling you, on your worst day in the United States of America, there's somebody in El Salvador that would swap places with you today. On your worst day here in this day and time and culture and economy, somebody from Bangladesh wouldn't even ask about your life. They would just say, yeah, I'll swap with that American today. And so give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophecy, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. When you engage the principles and the strength of the Word of God, it is a holistic experience, and it covers you mind, body, and spirit. Proverbs 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. It is amazing how much power you have. Now, your daddy might not have affirmed you, and your mama might not have built you up, and the culture around you may not have much positive to say about you, but the Word of God gives me a testimony tonight that the most important voice in your life is your voice. Now, immediately, some of you might contest that and say, well, no, it's the voice of God. I'm telling you, the voice of God doesn't matter if you don't embrace the voice of God. The most important voice in your life is your voice. You have to say amen to what God has said. And if you say, I can't, nobody can tell you otherwise. And if you can say, if you can't say, I will live and not die, nobody's going to be able to tell you that. But you've got to get on board with this and understand the power that you have to resurrect yourself and to dig yourself out and to create better landscape in your experience. It's more than what you say. It's what you see. It's what you envision. It's what you really in your heart believe. The Bible clearly says that the mouth speaks the abundance of the heart. And so you've got a rudder in your hands, and you've got the control stick in your hands for your life. And having a thankful heart and finding something good and something positive to focus on and to talk about is a delivering thing in your life. It's a remedial thing. It's a healing thing. It sets direction for your life. It affects everything else that you're doing. I just want to tell you the difference between a generation that failed to go into the promise of God and a generation that went into the promise of God was simply what they saw, what they thought, and what they said. They said, we can't go. We're grasshoppers in our own eyes, and they were not able to attain the promise of God. It matters how you think. It matters what you say. You can't be a sad sack every day of your life and expect to walk in the bounty and the blessing and the goodness of God. If your heart is broken, you've got to find a place down inside to say the thing that comports with the word of God. If your life is in tatters right now, the road to recovery begins by saying, I believe. Everything in this world is going to try to beat that out of you and drag you into something else. But a positive perspective can be the difference between wilderness and promise, between Canaan and wandering around a mountain in the wilderness. Joshua and Caleb saw the same land. They saw the same giants. They had the same experience as all those that turned away. And the two did not have the power to turn the heart of a nation, because the heart of a nation was inclined toward the negative. But they could determine their destiny, and they didn't die with the unbelieving generation. And they walked in, and one day Caleb was able to say, all right, now give me my mountain. I've had to wait 40 years for it, but I've never lost my faith in God. I've lost a lot of friends and family, but I haven't lost my faith in God. I want you to know it matters how you look at life. It matters what you say. It matters if you agree with God. So tonight, as we navigate our lives and all the vagaries of life in this existential realm, we choose to embrace the Word of God, and we choose to embrace God's perspective, and we choose to say, it is well with my soul, and we choose to say amen to the Word of God. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Anybody here believe God tonight? You believe the best is yet to come? You believe that God has a promise that hell can't turn back? Does anybody here believe that there's a word yet to be fulfilled in your life? I believe the best is yet to come. I really do. Praise God. Ezekiel said, I sat where they sat. He said, I was down by that same river Chebar there in Babylon. I was where they were. They were the harp hangers. They were the ones the psalmist talked about when he said, we've hanged our harps on the willows. We can't sing the songs of Zion in a strange land. They want us to sing, but let my tongue loose. Let my hands not play, my tongue be inactive. Let me not be able to sing the song. They were bitter and they were vengeful and they were full of regret. But Ezekiel said, I sat where they sat and I had visions of God. God is still available in your jail cell. God is available in your dark hour. God is available in your hard time. The promise of God is still real. And the only bars that can imprison you are the bars that you build with your own mind and with your own voice. But if you'll stand in the middle of it and you'll say, I believe God, and God's gonna see me through. Somebody give God some praise. That's ironic. That's ironic, Davin, that you felt more joy in a jail cell than you had felt out on the street. more liberty in captivity than you felt out in the world on your own, making your own decisions. But you can't lock God out, and you can't keep God out, because you had made a decision, and you changed what you were thinking, and you changed what you were saying, and you were in that place, but you agreed with God, and God turned that thing upside down. And my God, look at you now, and look what God's given you and what God's done in your life. I thank God. I thank God. Praise God. So the devil can't make you hang up your harp. And life can't make you hang up your harp. You're the only one. And that happens by will and by choice. And the contrary is true. Once you decide, then you step out in the morning and you say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will. I determine. I choose. I will rejoice. I will be glad. Praise God. So the old framing has to go, and the old crushing weight of guilt has to go, and all of those things that work against this theology, this idea of thankfulness, all of those things have to go. They've got to come and be placed out on an altar and given to God. And I don't deny the trauma or the horror of your life. And I don't deny the pain and all of the difficult things that you've experienced and that you've felt. But God and the promise of God and the surety of God and the ending that God has in store and has planned for us, I believe that He is. I believe that He does all things well. I believe that every good and every perfect gift comes down from Him. He's the Father of lights above. And hear me and believe me, in Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift comes from Him. And I trust Him tonight. Somebody say, I trust Him. I trust Him when I'm down at the hospital. I trust Him when we're down at the graveyard. I trust Him when I'm broke. And I trust Him when I have something in my pocket. And I trust Him that He'll keep me. And I trust Him that He's able. And I trust Him that He's wise. And I trust Him that He's good. And I trust Him that He's kind. And I don't understand everything. And I can't give you all the answers. And there are places in life I have more questions right now than I had when I was a brand new convert. But I'm trusting Him. He'll have an answer for every one of those questions when I get on the other side. I see the Apostle Paul telling me we see through a glass darkly. We can't see it all. And he was an apostle that had stood in the presence of God, not only on the earth, but also in the heavens. And he said, I can't see it all right now, but I know that when He comes, I'm going to be like Him, and I'm going to see like He sees. I'm going to understand. But unto then, we get a hold of the Word of God, and it's our starry navigation. We are looking up into the heavens for our navigation, and we don't lose sight, even though we run into things and things complicate us and obstacles rise before us. We embrace the things of God. Nehemiah chapter 8, they're trying to rebuild the walls and rebuild the temple, and it's nothing like the days of Solomon. And it's so bad that when the old men see the foundation laid, they begin to weep. They weep with nostalgia. They weep that it's actually, they're coming back. But they also weep because Zerubbabel's temple is not going to be anything compared to Solomon's temple. But Nehemiah and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep. weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Now, what had happened there, they had the word of God read to them after 70 years in captivity, and they were so convicted, and they were so broken over how far they had drifted from God in those 70 years. And this is true and good and genuine repentance, but Nehemiah said, stop it, dry it up. We're not going to have that today. You're not going to sit here and turn this into a weep fest. We're going to stand up in this place and we're going to magnify and glorify God, because God has been good and true and faithful. He said, this day's holy to the Lord your God. Don't mourn, don't weep, for all the people wept. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is functional. This is important. This really works. You can't let anything have your joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. So you got to find some fat. And you got to find some sweet. And you've got to find a culture of thanks. And you've got to be able to rise above the sorrow that's in you and the sorrow that's all around you. And you have to be able to say, because you, my friend, are the light of the world. You are the model by which all of our little ones will follow and find their way to God. You will be the one that gets up bloody and beaten and having run through the ringer of life, and you stand up again and that baby's watching you and you say, it's worth it all. Every battle, every fight, every struggle, every pain, everything that I'm going through is gonna be worth it, because I know what God has for us on the other side, and it's my job to make God look good, and it's my job to say the word is true, and it's my job to let these babies that are following us have a model and have a navigator. And they learn and they see this is how we respond to the existential world around us. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. So almost every year we delve into this, but I find it to be an important idea. People like, and I don't know his status or what he did or how he believed. I like some of his work, but Charles Dickens said, reflect on your present blessings, on which every man has many, and not on your past misfortunes, of which all men have some. I look at things like this, and I think Frankl understood this. And you can read Frankl on gratitude. And he lost all of his family except one sister in the death camps of Germany under the Nazis. But he came out with an understanding that you've got to be able to have something bigger than yourself to believe in. And you have to have a positive confession. You have to embrace something worth living for. Praise God. Praise God. I think about him. I think about him when I'm fasting, and I think about him, and I think about having a little piece, a little extra piece of bread in my pocket, which when you're fasting, you think thoughts like that. But he would save a little bit of his morning bread while they were out digging in the frozen earth to build a railway for the Germans, and he would nibble on his bread, and he would project himself out into a vision of what he knew was outside of this horrible place that he was in. Because there's always something, no matter where you are, how stifling and suffocating it gets, you have the power, the God-given power, to get yourself up above that place and to transport yourself into a better place. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And God is in favor of that. And God will work with you there. And that is the key. And that is the reason reason why those apostles are beaten and bloody in the middle of a midnight moment in a prison cell, and they're singing. And they're singing. There's something wrong with that. They are not in touch with reality. Yeah, they are, but it's a higher reality. They're not in touch with the truth. Yes, they are, but it's a higher truth. They're rattling their chains, and they're starting to find a key, and they're starting to sing a song and magnify and praise God in the middle of an untenable situation. Be thankful in everything. Give thanks. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. So there's been a lot of studies, been studies at Stanford and other places on having a thankful heart, on our own gratitude. But gratitude, and this is from the work of a young lady named Amy Morin, and she's a psychotherapist, and she writes about the fact that gratitude helps you in your relationships. Being kind and grateful to people around you tends to create a situation wherein you are more attractive to people around you. Amazing. It seems like we would know that and not be frowning and angry people, but we would be thankful and grateful people. Praise God. And surely as the people of God, We are that. She writes that in a 2012 study published in Personality and Individual Differences, gratitude improves physical health. If you have a grateful heart and you have a thankful heart, you tend to exercise more and you tend to take care of yourself and you tend to have a more positive outlook on life, and it portends to better health for you. You're going to get healthier if you'll smile more, if you'll give thanks more. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Try it on your neighbor right now. Smile a big smile, not a homicidal maniac smile, but a nice smile, and tell him, I am so thankful, and maybe tell him something that you're thankful for. If you're sitting by your husband or wife, this is a wonderful moment to bond and to say, I'm so thankful God gave you to me. Praise God. Robert Emmons, and we've talked about him before, he's a gratitude researcher, but he's conducted a lot of studies, and so gratitude decreases the incidence of depression, and the data is already gathered on this, and increases the things that are associated with happiness. Just being grateful, being thankful. If you're in a pit right now, find something to be thankful for and begin to give God praise for that thing that you're thankful for. Gratitude enhances your empathy and reduces your aggression. Gratitude helps you sleep better. Gratitude probably makes you look better. Gratitude improves your self-esteem. It increases your mental strength and your mental health. I need a praise group to come right now, and the musicians, come right now. We're gonna sing about being thankful and grateful and being blessed and all of that. Why don't you stand together, and let's start making our way down to the altar tonight, because I have an obligation to let you go at 8:30. Praise God. Tell somebody down in this altar as you get here what you're thankful for. Come on down close. There's people coming behind you now. Come on close. There's folks coming behind you. They need a place. Just begin to tell God what you're thankful for, how good He's been to you. Begin to open your mouth and your heart. And begin to praise God and thank Him.
We're blessed when we come, when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty.
that. Your job is to tell God what you're thankful for. Come on, your job is to begin to tell God all the things you're thankful for. Begin to enumerate those things. You got to go home because you got turkeys to baste and hams to cook and stuff to do, and some of you got to leave town and go over the river and through the woods. But whatever you're doing tonight and tomorrow, keep a thankful heart. Keep a heart full of gratitude and talk about how good God is. Some of you are going to sit with unredeemed relatives. Tell them how good God is. So, look, share your love and your victory one with another. It is so good to be a part of church with you. So good to be a part of the kingdom of God. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we'll look forward to seeing you here Sunday morning. God bless you.